welcome you to the Bing Crosby Show, presented by Chesterfield, produced and transcribed in San Francisco. With John Scott Trotter and his orchestra, Judd Collins with the mayors, and Bing's guests, Miss Barbara Whiting and Gary Crosby.
Oh, that's right. Gary's going to sing a song on the show tonight. Mm-hmm. Of course, that's if he doesn't fall asleep. It's pretty late, you know, for a kid like him.
It isn't so late.
Ken, you'd be surprised how tired little boys get.
But Gary's 16 years old.
Oh, well, then it's me that's tired. I knew somebody was tired around here.
Shall I slide the old rocking chair under your dad?
No. Oh, thanks, Ken. I get car sick in a rocker. I tell you what you can do, though. Would you just slip my shawl over my shoulders and bring me a cup of hot tea?
Shall I also fetch your paints and brushes, Grandma Moses?
Grandma Moses, Ken, you're beginning to sound like Bob Hope.
Well, thank you.
You know Bob Hope, folks. He's the great lover who dislocated his shoulder falling out of the front seat of an automobile.
Bob didn't fall out. He was thrown out of the front seat.
Well, if he's really a great lover, he should have been thrown out of the back seat. I'll tell you one thing, though, Ken. It was nice. I think it was nice in a way that Bob had that accident and dislocated his shoulder. Gave the servicemen a chance to get even.
What do you mean?
Well, when Hope was in the hospital, a bunch of soldiers went over to entertain him.
How could a group of soldiers possibly entertain Bob Hope?
Well, they held a dice game on his bed, and they gave him a cut of every pot.
He'd like that.
Oh, but you should have seen the beautiful nurse Bob had.
Oh, really? Mm.
Did she bandage his shoulder and put his arm in a sling?
She put both of his arms in a sling.
Well, why both of them?
Why should a girl be half safe? I see the rhythm airs are gathering around now, and that's my cue to get ready for the opening selection, which is a little item called Quicksilver. I did quite a flashy Decca platter on this tune with the Andrew Sisters. Now we'll see if we can flash it here tonight. Perry Bodkin is outstanding in this number, playing the banjo.
Quicksilver,
Quicksilver
into someone's eyes. You're as hard to hold as Quicksilver when you kiss and run away. I dream you're mine, and then as quick as Quicksilver, all my dreams are led astray.
I keep chasing you till I'm facing you and embracing you with all your charms.
With all your charms, and you slip through my fingers just like Quicksilver right into someone else's arms.
Seems like I am having trouble with you.
You're having trouble with you.
And I don't know what I'm gonna do.
Tell me what you wanna do.
Seems like you're fickle, fickle as can be. And your fickle ways have got me up a tree.
You're as hard,
you're
to,
hard to hold, Quicksilver,
when you kiss, and run away.
Oh, you kiss, and then
I dream you're mine, and then
I dream you're mine,
Quicksilver,
all my dreams
I led astray.
I keep
chasing you,
till I'm facing you, and
embracing you, with all your C-H-A-R charms, then you slip through my fingers,
slip right through,
Quicksilver,
right into
someone else's
Quicksilver, into someone's arms.
Jolly little item. Thank you, folks. Thank you. You know, there's a difference between Chesterfields and other cigarettes. And you can tell this difference for yourself when you open a package of Chesterfields and you get a whiff of that mild aroma.
All right, you are, Bing. That mild aroma that can come only from Chesterfield tobacco.
Yes, sir. The right combination of the world's best tobaccos.
And that mild aroma proves that because of Chesterfield's exclusive aging process, all rawness and harshness has been removed from the tobacco. And Chesterfields are milder, much milder, better tasting, cooler smoking. So, friends, just get a whiff of that mild aroma of Chesterfield tobacco, and you'll know that there's a difference between Chesterfield and other cigarettes.
Chesterfield satisfy women and men. Chesterfield's over and over again. Milder, much milder, all smokers agree. Always buy Chesterfield's ABC.
ABC.
You know, we got Barbara Whiting on the show tonight, and I thought it would be appropriate, be nice, to do one of her father's songs. It's a new song called Sorry. Buddy Cole at the piano.
Sorry, can't you see that I'm sorry? All my life I'll be sorry. I was mean to you. You're so dear to me. When you're near to me, the whole world seems fine. And I need you so. How I long to know. You'll always be mine. I'm sorry. Will you ever forgive me? Heaven knows I'll be sorry. If you say we're through. So have a heart. Say we'll never part again. Darling, I love you. Won't you tell me you're sorry too?
Sorry, can't you see that I'm sorry? All my life I'll be sorry. Mean to you.
You're so dear to me. When you're near to me, the whole world seems fine. I need you so. How I long to know. You'll always be mine. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Heaven knows I'll be sorry. If you say we're through. So have a heart. Say we'll never part again. Darling, I love you. Won't you tell me you're sorry?
Sorry, so sorry.
Won't you tell me you're sorry?
Thank you very much. You know, in the Crosby household, there are four boys. That's if you don't count me. The youngest is Lindsay, who's 11. Then there are the twins, Dennis and Phil, who are 15. The oldest is Gary, who is... already? Well, anyway, tonight's guest is the biggest of the little Crosbys, and it's with the father's pardonable pride that I present him in this, his debut as a radio soloist. Step out, son. Do your pop proud, huh? Thanks, Dad. Say, isn't that a new ensemble you're wearing? A new suit there? Gary, you look pretty sharp.
Yes, sir. That's Mom's idea. She even made me put on this necktie. Oh, well, certainly, I would hope so. You're appearing before the public tonight.
You are too, Dad. Where's your necktie?
You're wearing it.
Gee, Dad, you're doing pretty good. You ought to have more than just one necktie.
I don't see why. I've only got one neck.
Yeah, but you got four sons.
Yeah, that's why. That's why I can only have one of you on the show at a time, too. Hey, by the way, did you practice your song this afternoon, Lou?
I don't have to practice, Dad. I want to sound like my favorite singer.
Well, I see, but, son, what you don't realize is that I do practice.
Oh, I know you do, Dad.
Hmm? Maybe I'm taking too much for granted here. Just who is your favorite singer?
Elroy McDougal.
I never heard of him. Where's this McDougal ever sung?
He sings in our glee club at school. All the fellas think he's going to be another Morton Downey.
He sings that high?
Yeah, but Elroy wonders how he's going to sound when his voice changes. He worries about it.
So does Downey.
Hey, Gary,
if you're ready with your song, maybe we better get at it, and then you can get on home. You got school tomorrow, you know.
Well, I can stay up late tonight, Dad.
Who gave you that idea?
Took a nap today.
A nap? When did you take a nap?
This morning. Didn't get up till 10:30.
I'll let you 8 to 5, you get up before 10:30 tomorrow morning. And incidentally, what's that scent that's making my nostrils quiver and twitch? Are you wearing cologne?
Oh, no. This is before shave lotion.
Before shave lotion?
Yeah. Turns fuzz into whiskers.
Oh, now, see here. Where in the world did you ever get that?
Uncle Larry invented it. I'm testing it for him.
Listen, don't you test anything for your Uncle Larry. I gave him $20 to buy guinea pigs. He can let you kids alone.
Well, Dad, I'm not exactly a kid anymore.
We won't go into that either.
Say, Dad, I was wondering if it would be possible for me to get an advance on my allowance tonight.
Gary, I don't like to be the stern parent, but if you want extra money, you can do what I did when I was a kid.
Oh, Dad, I don't want to stand on the street corners and sing.
I didn't sing on street corners until after I joined Paul Whiteman's band. Whiteman had me sing on the street to drive people into the theater.
Who drove them out?
Nobody drove them out. Henry Buzzy blew them out. To get back to your case, now, if you need some extra money, you can do what I did when I was a youngster. You can get the lawnmower out, you can cut grass and earn it.
I can't. Lindsay has the grass-cutting concession.
Then you can borrow the money from Lynn.
I can't. Phil's got the money-lending concession.
Yes, and he's a hard man to tap, too. But look, why don't you try it? Try borrowing a little money from Phil. He might soften up.
Hasn't got it. Loaned it all to Lenny.
Lenny? What does he need with money?
To pay Denny to cut the grass for him.
Oh, well, where's the money you made working at the ranch last summer?
Phil borrowed it to lend Lenny to pay Denny.
Well, then Denny must be loaded.
No. No, he broke the lawnmower, and he had to pay the dough to get it fixed.
Don't you mean Dennis let the money get out of the family?
Oh, no, it's still in the family. Uncle Larry fixed the lawnmower.
That's a long story. But I don't see why you need any money anyway. As long as you're going right home to bed, there's no need of it.
I hadn't planned on going right home to bed tonight.
No, you hadn't.
No, I thought I might go out for a bite to eat later and maybe take in a movie.
Well, that might be an idea. We might do that.
We?
Yeah.
Well, Dad, would it be all right if you didn't go?
Are you going out to eat with one of your school chums?
Well, yeah, kinda.
What do you mean, kinda?
Well, what I had in mind is more like a girl than a chum.
What are you talking about?
Well, it's a chum, but you couldn't exactly say she's a fella.
You asked a girl for a date?
It was inevitable, Dad.
Now, this comes as something of a shock to me, Gary. You're an athlete, you're a football player. You shouldn't be thinking about girls.
Well, girls are more fun than football. And they're not so seasonal. Yeah?
That's true. That's right. But yeah, I don't know. You You amazed me tonight. I always thought you were bashful. Bashful type. I always thought of you as being timid around girls.
Yeah, that's good.
What do you mean?
Shy guy does a lot better than a wise guy.
Let's not get into techniques.
Right. I realize that you should be going out on dates, but really not so soon. After all, Gary, you're only 14.
I'm 16.
Oh, yes. Even at 16, son, you've got plenty of time for girls.
That's what I say. From now on, I've got plenty of time for girls.
Well, now I'm beginning to realize how Lewis Stone felt every time Mickey Rooney walked into his study for a heart-to-heart chat.
Of course, Dad, now that the whole matter has come up, maybe we ought to talk about girls, have a little talk.
No, son, I still take the stand that you're too young for girls.
Well, if you won't talk about them, maybe I should talk to Uncle Everett.
Pull up a chair, sir.
We are going to have a talk.
Are we going to talk about girls?
No, about Uncle Everett.
Come to think of it, I doubt if you're old enough to talk about him either.
Well, Dad, how about it? Can I go out on the date or not?
Oh, Gary, you haven't got time for girls now. You've got your schoolwork, your athletics to think about. That's all you can handle right now.
Well, gee whiz. If Dick Tracy can take time out to get married, I can certainly take time out to have a date.
You can go out on a date when little orphan Annie gets married.
Well, all I can say is this puts me in a terrible spot.
Why?
I'll be the laughingstock of Monterey Peninsula.
Oh, well, I guess as long as you've gone ahead and made this date, we'll have to take her out to dinner.
We?
Sure.
Then I'll be the laughingstock of the whole world.
Well, let me ask you this. Will it be all right if I meet the young lady? Can that be handled?
It's not that I'm ashamed of you, Dad. It's just that you might get in the way.
Get in the way of what?
How do I know? This is my first date.
Now, don't get excited.
Gee whiz, you treat me like an infant. You'd think I was 15 instead of 16.
This'll work out. Just unscrew your face and don't give me that Academy Award performance either.
Well, all I can say is, gee whiz.
Well, thank you, Corliss Archer. Now, first of all, who is the young lady that you have a date with and where is she?
Well, she's a real doll and she's right here.
She's right here?
Hmm? Barbara, this is my father, Mr. Crosby. Mr. Crosby, this is Miss Barbara White.
Well, hello, Barbara.
Hello, Mr. Crosby. How do things look, Gary?
Oh, man, it's rough.
Did you try crying? It always works for me.
Nothing will work. The groaner's solid granite.
All right. All right, kids, break up this huddle now, if you don't mind.
Gee, Mr. Crosby, this is the biggest thrill of my entire life.
Oh, gee, Barbara.
I mean your father.
Oh.
Mr. Crosby, it's such a thrill meeting you after all these years.
All what years?
I've got the biggest collection of your records of anybody in school. And you know something, Mr. Crosby?
What?
On your real old ones, you sound just like Elroy McDougal.
That was before Dad's voice changed.
I never should have changed it. Today I could have been another Morton Downey, you know?
Oh, we like you the way you are, Mr. Crosby. All the girls in my class are just dying to meet you.
Why?
Because you're loaded with sons.
Oh, you amaze me, Barbara. You're just like the rest, though. All you youngsters seem to think about is boys.
Not me.
Crosby, before we leave, I want to thank you for letting Gary borrow your car to take me out tonight.
The car? Well, I guess it's all right if you kids use the car.
Gee, thanks a million, Dad.
Of course, I go with it. We're a set.
Oh, Dad.
Well, you see, Mr. Crosby, Gary and I plan on going out and dining and dancing it up a bit.
Well, that's all right. You and Gary can dine it up and dance it up, and Daddy's going to be right there chaperoning it up.
This is going to be a mad, mad evening.
Now, don't get the idea that I'm old-fashioned. Please don't do that. I don't want you thinking I'm a wet blanket. I'm a very modern parent. I'm a wet electric blanket. And the three of us, I think the three of us can certainly have a good time tonight.
But gee whiz, Dad. Barbara asked me for the date, not you.
What? Barbara had to ask you for this date? What's the matter with you? You're supposed to take the initiative.
Dad, I wish you'd make up your mind. One minute I can't have the date, and the next minute you're telling me how.
And I can tell you.
Well, Mr. Crosby, I didn't ask Gary for a date. I merely inquired if he'd like to take me out. And he said yes, and I accepted.
All I can say, things have certainly changed since I was a boy. Maybe I am being a little old-fashioned. I'll tell you what, you two kids, you can go out and you can have dinner and dance. You don't have to take me with you.
Thanks a lot, Dad. Nothing personal, you understand. You're a lot of fun on a fishing trip.
You're a great comfort, son, a great comfort. Then right after the show, you kids can go out. I want you to behave yourselves and have a good time. And Gary?
Yes, sir?
Make sure that you're home by 11 p.m.
Oh, Dad, 11 o'clock. Things don't really start jumping till after 11.
That's right, and at 11:05, you'll be jumping into your pajamas.
Well, Mr. Crosby, if Gary has to be home by 11, you might as well come along with us. The evening's shot anyway.
If I come along, honey, you'll be home by 10. Now, Gary, I'm sure Barbara will excuse you for a minute or so while you sing your song. Which number have you selected from your rather limited repertoire? What are you going
well,
to
Well, I cut? Thought I might sing Dear Hearts and Gentle People.
Well, now, that should go all right. That's a nice little ditty. Would you step right up to the mic here, son? Barbara and I will fall back here and watch you with adoring eyes.
I love those dear hearts and gentle people who live in my hometown. Because those dear hearts and gentle people will never, ever let you down. They read the good book from Friday till Monday. That's how the weekend goes. I got a dream house I'll build there one day with picket fence and rambling rose. I feel so welcome each time that I return that my happy heart keeps laughing like a clown. I love the dear hearts and gentle people who live in love in my hometown. There's a place I'd like to go, and it's up in Idaho, where your friendly neighbors smile and say hello. It's a pleasure and a treat to meander down the street. That's why I want the whole wide world to know.
I love those dear hearts.
I love those gentle people who live in my hometown. Because those dear hearts and gentle people will never, ever let you down. They read the good book from Friday till Monday. That's how the weekend goes.
Got a
dreamy dream house I'll build there one day with picket fence and rambling rows. I feel so welcome each time that I return that my happy heart keeps laughing like a clown. I love the dear hearts and gentle people who live in love in my hometown.
That was okay, Gary.
Thanks, Dad.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Ken Carpenter approaches with a few words of tremendous import.
Well, Bing, I just wanted to remind the folks that Chesterfields are the right blend of the world's best tobaccos. Chesterfields are, A, always milder than other cigarettes because of that blend. And they're, B, better tasting, taste better than other cigarettes because of that blend. And they're, C, cooler smoking, smoke cooler than other cigarettes because of that blend.
And folks, when your friends have a birthday coming up, remember them with Chesterfield's gay red birthday carton. Makes a very nice present for every smoker. I have a new picture coming out soon called Riding High. The following is the ballad from the piece by Jimmy Van Heusen and Johnny Bird.
Won't say that grass will grow or ivy will climb, but darling, I'd say we've got a sure thing this time. I'd say that we're on our way to a star, and take a tip from me. We are. Won't say that rivers flow or day turns to night, but darling, I'd say we've got a sure thing, all right. Won't say it's winter when snow falls from above, but darling, it's a sure thing, we're in love.
That just about gets it for tonight. My thanks to Barbara Whiting and to Gary for dropping in to help the old man out.
Oh, it was wonderful, Mr. Crosby.
Who's with you next week, Dad?
Gary, we've snagged a mighty array of talent for next week because we're going to welcome Louis Armstrong back to this country after his triumphant tour of Europe. Also with us next week will be Miss Peggy Lee with her pretty pipes, Joe Venuti with his fiery fiddle, Jack Teagarden with his tender trombone, all those and many others. Folks, before leaving, I would like to mention the campaign of the Big Brothers of America. The Big Brothers are not appealing for funds. They're asking for more members. They want men to act as a big brother to a boy who is fatherless, unfortunate, in trouble. They want to add many more men to the thousands who are now giving friendship and affection to boys who need it desperately in order to find the road that leads to a happier life. Thanks very much, and good night.
The Bing Crosby Show, presented by Chesterfield, was produced and transcribed in San Francisco by Bill Morrow and Murdo McKenzie. Barbara Whiting, radio's junior miss, appeared through the courtesy of the makers of Rave, Home Permanent. Tune in next week and hear Bing and his guests, Louis Armstrong, Peggy Lee, Joe Venuti, and Jack Teagarden. The George Burns and Gracie Allen Show follows immediately.